Hey everybody, welcome back to Sex, Drugs, and the Epigenome. We took a nice long break for the holidays. I think our last episode was right before we had a long break for the holidays. And things have been cooking over on Dr. Seeds' world and the SSRP Institute. It has been a whirlwind start of the year, right, Doc? It's great to be back.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Karen. It's been a lot of work the last couple of years, and we've been busy at this beginning of 2022, and I don't see it stopping. I'm excited. It's infectious, and it's everybody's kind of jumping into this passionate state of, tell me more about the cell. Let me know more. I can't get enough, Doc. Where do we go with this? And that just fuels the fire for everyone. And that just makes it so exciting that everyone has been, I just see this revival in docs and in our professional caretakers here that, you know, it doesn't have to be a doc. It can be a physical therapist. It can be an athletic trainer. It can be a nurse practitioner. It can be a chiropractor. It's all of us together. Finally, I love seeing us working as a team, as a group of people all interested in the same thing. And that's learning everything we can about the cell to do everything we can as a team to do what? Improve patient outcomes, improve how we work against the clock. And that clock is ticking every minute. And I think that's kind of our motto here. You know, every minute that clock is ticking, we're at the SSRP, we're working on getting this message out about the cell and what we can do to help make that better, make that cell better, to not necessarily live longer, which really I'm not a big proponent of promising that, but I'm a absolute proponent of promising if we look better at how we manage the cell and efficiencies of using substrates, glucose, fatty acids, amino acids and so forth in our diet, and what we do with exercise and what we do with peptides and what we do with small molecules and how we manipulate these for the benefit of improvement of the cell, then there is no doubt in my mind, and I will back it 100%, we can improve aging to where your genetics work better for you, and that you do have those golden years. You do have every day better. You do make your life better. And that's a strong statement. And then, you know, do other things come with that? Does the lifespan increase? I'm going to tell you, I'm not smart enough to know that. There are some people that claim they're smart enough to know that, and God bless them. They're pushing the envelope forward, but I'm going to tell you what I do know at this date and what I've proven and what I'm doing with myself. I mean, I'm doing this with myself and many others. So let's see where this continues to go. The fever is incredible, and it's just like I said, it's infectious. So thank you, Karen, for making this all possible and putting all these people together and driving this engine for all of us, because it's, you know, without people like yourself that are so dedicated to getting real messages out and really validating this whole area of improvement of the cell is just incredible. You know, all of my scientists out there love you, and all, it's like we're bringing together research and medicine. It's like it's coming together. I can't thank you enough for making it fun and you know, bringing us down to planet Earth to really talk about it the right way, where we're sometimes we talk above the language and, you know, really making it relevant, that I think is why this is really happening. So thank you.
Oh gosh, Doc, that is all you. And that's such a great way to encompass what's happened in the beginning of this year. I think you just wrapped up NAD Summit back in January, and that was in your favorite place in the world, in Vail. It was an epitome for me at NAD Summit, where we realized how much we simply don't know, and how that is, there's a respect to that. There's a massive amount of respect to people who understand, oh goodness, we only are scratching the surface. And you provided that respect to people. Like, that was what I thought was so great. But then my big aha at that summit was, you're known as the peptide guy, right? That's what everyone writes to us for. And we answer a lot of questions about peptides, but You've just given us a scratch of the surface of what it really is, and that is cellular medicine. And it goes beyond just peptides. Peptides is just one of the tools in your toolbox and all these other things. And you dropped so many things on us at NAD Summit, and I'm not going to reveal them here because I think we'll go off topic, but that was the biggest, like, whoa, we are just seeing what Dr. Seeds has to offer us. And that's what today's episode is kind of dedicated to, is like, we have a lot of docs and NPs and PACs, and they're all following what we're doing. And this new thing, this Senescence Mastermind coming up in April, is like, oh, it's an anti-aging summit. Okay, I kind of get it. I almost think we have to dedicate this episode, Doc, if you're good with it, to describing, oh, this is a whole new ball game. This is like nothing they've ever seen before, just like NAD Summit was. And that there will be new things that you'll figure out and possibly other things that will come together. But this is that next step after NAD Summit, right, Doc?
Absolutely. I mean, all of these things are in stages. I'm fine with the peptide recognition, and that's wonderful, because I that's the way I introduced cellular medicine into the physician world at the beginning, because that was the only way I saw that as a way to start bringing in biochemistry and molecular biology and quantum physics, so forth, into the field through something that where these there were these buzzwords, peptides, that were started. And that was easy because I was like, well, geez, I've been doing this for a long time, and this is the best way to introduce these terms and these peptides, and to start, if I can get people excited, they'll start latching on to these pathway ideas, these mechanisms. And that was really the madness in my method, was to get behind that and then start showing, hey, I'm not about just, oh, take this, do this, and that's how you get people better, because you don't become much of a physician or a practitioner if that's all you do. I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to get very far with that. That's okay with me too. If that's what you do, then God bless you. You're helping people also. But I think you're missing out if you're not looking for real solutions and using your brain to figure these out. And that's what gave me this avenue. And this is why Senescence is the next step. It's like, there's been a method in the way we've gone through this years of planning that I've laid out from day one. It's why everything builds on every topic. It's why you hear from our fellows, they keep going, oh my gosh, now I understand why we took that step. Now I understand why you fed a little bit of NAD in every conference, because now it's just all the light bulbs exploded on me. It's no different with Senescence and what we started with introducing Senescence, because nobody talked about Senescence before. Nobody talked about it before. Nobody knew how to bring it into this relative space of understanding cellular medicine. And this is why it's so important to keep bringing these subjects in, but to bring in the relevance now of, guys, this is so much more than anti-aging. It's so much more. It's the process that if we aren't all on board and pushing forward and understanding every aspect of Senescence and how it's different in every specialty, but yet it's the same, meaning, well, how could it be the same and different in every specialty? Well, this is a common denominator that continues. Senescence is a word, you know, that used where a cell basically just stops. It doesn't perform the aspects of being a normal cell anymore. This could be, let's say, an endothelial cell and a vessel in the heart. And this is something they're studying in cardiology, where an endothelial cell becomes senescent. Or it could be an astrocyte in the brain, or a microglial cell in the brain that becomes senescent, and they're studying that in neurology and neurodegenerative diseases. Or it could be a immune cell, a macrophage, that has become senescent that we're studying in autoimmune disease. Or it could be a cell in the glomerulus or a podocyte in the kidney that has become senescent that is creating disease in the kidney. What I'm trying to say is, we really need to understand that senescence is the driver of these processes of disease in every field of medicine. And that's a statement that everybody should be going, oh my gosh, I need to know. I really should know more about this. Well, if you understand the general concepts of senescence and you understand what its purpose is in disease, which we're going to spend time on, but more importantly, you understand that it's different. It's different in every one of these fields, which I think we'll talk about here in just a little bit about this senescence-associated secretory phenotype and how it's different. That is very important to understand. And that's what we're going to be doing in this. Oh, you're bringing up a picture. Okay. Well, you're bringing up a picture that says, you know, pictures are worth a thousand words. And I really love what lecturing and all of these aspects of teaching have taught me, that people love pictures and love to relate to pictures. And I get it. And it makes sense. I mean, I'd rather see pictures than listen to me talk too. And these pictures say so much. And in particular, this cell, let's just say this is a senescent cell that Karen has brought up here. And it means that it's just stopped replicating. It stopped replicating from becoming that same endothelial cell, let's say, in the heart. And it's now, because it stopped replicating for many reasons that I think you need to understand. I think you need to know why it happens. I think you need to know the progression of it. I think you need to know then what it produces. And it produces these SASPs, senescence-associated secretory phenotype, meaning that particular cell in that particular area, it has a phenotype now that it's going to produce these interleukins, these cytokines, these proteases. These are cell signaling agents that are going to affect other cells. And in fact, other cells like itself. So it can affect immune cells and how they control immune surveillance. They can then control immune cells and how they control invasions of viruses and bacteria and fungi and so forth. They can progress tumor cells. They can be, meaning that SASP, that senescent cell could be an oncogenic induced cell, meaning it's a very powerful senescent cell and it can induce tumors. It can change other cells into what they typically do and how they're programmed to, you know, to send signals and send out their proteins and so forth. It can change tissue. It can reinforce senescence on other tissues and itself. It can also cause other hormonal senescence to be created. And then it can cause, like what it shows over here about organ fibrosis, and you see fibrosis in the liver, you see it in the kidney, you see it in the heart, you see it in the lungs, pulmonary idiopathic fibrosis. I mean, fibrosis is like the secondary aspect of senescence. And that's actually, you know, when we started this topic, the topic was fibrosis, and it's still part of this, but it's senescence leading to fibrosis, and people understanding fibrotic disease is all related to senescence. So senescence is so encompassing that this is a nice way to just show that, guys, the more we understand about this and how this process has everything to do with understanding how we're going to improve our patient care, and the fact that it's changing rapidly, we're understanding more and more and more every year, actually every month, there are papers coming out. And as I've said, this is the hottest topic in every medical field. The hottest topic. Why wouldn't you want to be an expert in senescence? Why wouldn't you want to know everything? Because I'm challenging you. If you know and understand senescence, it's taking you one step further to being able to play a significant role as a caretaker in all fields of medicine, because you are relevant in understanding senescence, because it has everything to do with that disease process in that particular vertical column of, like I like to call it, of cardiology, orthopedics, pulmonology, ophthalmology, nephrology, gastroenterology, all of these things, psychiatry. I mean, think of that. I mean, I get so excited. I like talking to researchers in other fields and finding the similarities we have in discussion, and light bulbs just go off when we're talking about information. And it's like, they get excited to know that, wow, physicians really have an understanding of what I'm doing. This is awesome. Can I talk to you more about this? And this is how discussion starts. This is how medicine changes. These are how outcomes improve. How could you not be excited about something like this? And, you know, I bring a lot of passion, I think, to some of my conferences and to most of them. And this one is going to be exuded to the max. Because I get so excited in everything that I've, you know, I felt a long time ago and told all of the people that I've trained that, hey guys, this is one thing you need to keep your head on watching this information coming out on senescence. You know, I used to talk about senescence and quiescence at the beginning of when I first started the peptide stuff and talking about just those little concepts. And look where we've gone now into now how many people I think are doing a great job in bringing out the relevance of this in all of their fields. And so this is what we're going to try to do. And I've talked a lot here and I haven't even let you even ask me a question, but you kind of led me down this road of where it's like why every mastermind keeps building on its own to the next topic. And why I just believe, you know, methodology and planning makes such a impact when you've built this information in little pieces all the way along, and then you get to put it together in a way that no one's probably thought about before. And now they get to kind of see more of, not that I know how to think and not that I know how to, you know, I don't claim to know everything, but I just want to give people some of my thoughts of how I put some of this together and how I use it to make people better and how I keep thinking, well, there's got to be more, and how I ask more questions. And the beauty of these summits and masterminds, when we do this, is that we do open up discussion and we do bring people together to talk about it. That's a tremendous stage to be that vulnerable. But that just shows you, I think we're all very humble about where we're at and that we're all trying to improve. And we don't have all the answers, but we have some ideas.
Wow, Doc, this is so beyond what Google even gave me while I was preparing for this discussion is, you know, I hear the buzzwords that you say that I hear from other places. And that's, you know, senescent cells are the zombie cells. Senescence is the hallmark of aging, right? These are all things that you can Google and you'll find anywhere. But what you're describing, Doc, it's so much deeper than just describing this as a zombie cell. It's the start of, it sounds like, a lot of really terrible diseases and diseases that are untreatable today. And by understanding where those processes go wrong, then we may have a chance to make some real changes here.
Look at what we did with NAD. I mean, we talked about NAD for 2 days, but we brought in, you know, if you want to bring in some really relevant points that really change the ideas of how you think about NAD, it has everything to do with how senescence influences the CD8 cell receptors on immune cells, in particular macrophages, and how that influences the utilization of NAD from the salvage pool. These are monumental, I think, processes that you cannot ignore and that you need to know to understand how you're using some of these precursors of NAD to make them relevant. If you don't understand that, then you have no business using any of these precursors of NAD. I mean, I think we made that pretty clear. And I think understanding that and then going further now with these ideas, that was a stepping stone leading into this senescence talk of showing people, hey guys, there's a lot of processes you need to be aware of when you look at redox and NAD, and let's really break it down so we understand it and understand redox cycling and the aspects of the salvage pathway and how, where these precursors fit, but do they really fit in every scenario? And we made that pretty clear. The answer is no, but they can be valuable tools, just like IV NAD or nasal NAD. Any of those things can be very valuable if you understand the environment you're using them in. And most importantly, this concept of senescence and upregulation of CD38 receptors on immune cells and other cells. If you didn't get that concept, you're going to fail in how you move forward in doing anything with NAD. That's my opinion. But I think we made that very clear, and the research has been beautifully portrayed, you know, describing those mechanisms and issues and questions that we all need to keep searching for. So that takes us to this next step of just, it's not just about, you know, how everybody just thinks NAD is something. It's like, well, senescence is the bigger concept. And it's like, well, what plays into senescence? Well, everything does, just kind of how we showed NAD plays into oxidation, glycation, methylation, inflammation, hormonal dysregulation. You know, like it's the same thing with senescence. It plays, all of those roles are significant in aging and disease, but senescence is what takes it forward. Senescence is the key to all of these things. And again, it's just like, I hope everybody understands. We'll talk about this and we'll go down these paths and make it very clear, I hope, and make it a stronger case for people being much more educated in this world of senescence. But we'll also make it realize that, again, this is another part in the toolbox of working to improve a lot of things that may be going wrong, because you still have to work on redox. You still have to work on methylation. Maybe you still have to work, you know, you have to work on all the little parts, but you also have to work on senescence. So I get really passionate about this because it's just so exciting. You wake up every morning and there's something new written on this and you just go, oh my gosh. Really, I really thought I had this down, and now there's more to this. But that's great. I mean, that's what makes this so exciting. And
I can't even tell that you were stuck on a flight for the last 24 hours. This woke you up. I like it. Okay, I have a weird question for you. So senescence is most often associated with aging and, of course, older groups. But can this happen in youth?
Well, senescence is necessary. So it's a necessary part of life. Senescence is necessary in development, and it's necessary in injury repair. So it's a known biological process that we need, and it's a biological process that gets out of control. So we need this to happen in growth, in development, and then we also need it to happen in injury and repair. And then as we're aging and then as disease progresses, it can become a problem. So hopefully we'll define that better for people to understand, because that's a real concept that I don't think enough people do realize, that it's absolutely something we live with and we need. That's why you don't go and wipe out all your senescent cells, because you need it. Now, there are different theories in potentially doing that, where you only do it a couple days here, a couple days there. And I think there's a lot of valid thought behind that too. I think there's lots of ways to do this, and that's what we're going to discuss. I hope we give people a real robust, strong understanding and some real tools of utilization with this, because I think this is one of the most important aspects in helping to solve, not just improve disease, but solve it, cure it, fix it. And that leads me to, I don't know if you're going to soon to close this session or because I've said so much, but this is where the coolest part of the future is with senescence, of where cellular medicine is so advanced in many stages. And we're talking about every stage because every stage is relevant in how we treat patients. But as we get up there into really looking at DNA and RNA methylation and looking at aging at the clock, none of that stuff, because that really doesn't change how we treat people. But what does is where we're going with messenger RNAs and actually the next steps of antisense oligonucleotides, of where we can absolutely get around genetic defects and change splicing variants of genetic problems and actually change these transcriptions of proteins, translations of RNA, we can change messaging with antisense oligonucleotides. That is a tremendous statement. Best case and example I always bring up is look what we've done with spinal muscle atrophy, a disease that was before the age of two. If you could not get to, we couldn't do anything. I mean, that was a horrible progression of disease, and now we can cure it. And that more people don't know about that because of what we can do with changing these splice variants and so forth by making a new signaling process that is where it's at. It's not at this clock stuff. Can't do anything with that, but you can, when you actually take these higher steps of really trying to work with the genetic code, that's where medicine's going. And that has everything to do with senescence also, because there are many of these genetic defects that maybe we can't change. Maybe they don't have splicing variants. Maybe we can't change them at this higher level, but they all have senescence related to the progression of their disease. And we can go at a higher level with some of these messenger RNAs and other things that we can make to go at that senescent cell specific where it is. Remember specific how I said where it is and what it's created. And we can look at improving that. That gives hope for people. That drives all of us to knowing that, gosh, there's so many tiers to how we can go about treating people and improving their lives. The more we know, the more we understand about these mechanisms. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
Oh, cool, Doc.
Yeah.
You've done a lot for my loved ones regarding that stuff. So I have to say, this is how much this man knows about things that are uncurable is crazy. But we'll save that for a different episode. But I do want to touch upon one thing about the topic of like the future of senescence research, and that is the utilization of stem cells, which is a really kind of a demonized topic, right? Google hates it. In fact, they will put you on a blacklist and your website will not rank on anything, and your website won't even become visitable if you use the word stem cell in your language, which is so tragic because there's just so many utilizations of stem cells outside of what they're demonizing it for, which is more on the embryonic side. And that seems to be where the biggest problems come into play. But I mean, Doc, if you can speak just briefly to your stem cell research and how it's advancing so much. And there was just a recent, just a couple months ago, on the use of stem cells in knees and joints, right, Doc? And I showed that to you. I'm like, hey, is this you? That was in the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. So how do you say this? I mean, look at all the controversy of what's happened with COVID.
Oh, yeah.
This is advancement. I mean, this is what happens. But the research and all of the due diligence and the great bench work that's being done around all the stem cell research has led to great improvements in where we can go with also improving patient outcomes. And the senescence plays a significant role in how these stem cells work and how they can be better utilized. And actually, understanding more about senescence made us smarter in utilizing stem cells and making sure that stem cells were really ready to go and to do their job in cell signaling. And maybe that's kind of what we've learned, you know, instead of giving people these, yes, stem cells can change into other cells. And yes, in the right environment with the right scaffolding, you know, something holding it where it needs to be, it can potentially do that. But we're at a stage right now where we're using them more for their signaling abilities and their capabilities in repairing, because that's what they do in the body. They do more signaling and repairing than they do morphing into another cell. But they do. I mean, they do that too, but it's more complex. But that's why we've gotten smarter at this. And all I can say is this is where you got to kind of put your head down and just keep pushing forward for all the right reasons, with all the right information. And there's a reason it's continued, and it's continued to move forward because something's happening and it's making changes. I mean, things don't just progress because of a word or because, okay, here's an interesting thing. You see a lot of supplements come and go because they really don't do anything. You see a lot of concepts come and go because they really don't do anything. You know, diet concepts, they don't do anything. They don't long-term. But the things that do work long-term are always there and keep getting better. And that's understanding what? More about calorie restriction, more about fasting, more about exercise. Exercise doesn't go away. If it did, right?
That'd be nice.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't go away. It's all of these things are here for a reason and continuing to move forward. And unfortunately, unfortunately, you know, we do need regulation. We do need stipulations of how things are done. But then, unfortunately, some of those things work against us because they keep things restricted too much. It's hard. I don't have those answers. All I do is just put my head down and just keep driving forward and looking for how I make it work. That's my job. That's what I can do well. So yes, stem cells are, I think, a tremendous part of this process of senescence. I think they're the absolute will continue to be the future of also of treatment and medicine in every field. And I've just been fortunate to be successful in what I do with them. And I think it's because I understand what you need to do to utilize them correctly. I think we get caught up too. You know, we used to get caught up in the concept of stem cells that you had to make more of them and you had to have a lot of them. And I think I've just not myself, but many of us have changed that idea that it isn't about how many, it's how powerful is that one stem cell? How powerful is the signaling of that stem cell? How resistant is that stem cell against the environment you're putting it in to do its job in signaling? So that's where it comes down to. It's really, and that's why you have to have this. I think you have to have a broader knowledge of cellular medicine. This is why am I successful? This is because I put these things together. And this is why senescence, you need to know senescence and understand it better because this is the future. So I have tremendous respect for all those guys pushing forward in that in the field of stem cells and all that great work that all of them are doing. And I thank them for including me in some of their conferences and letting me give my interpretation of what I do. I'm humbled by that. And I just think that you'll continue to see that moving forward as we've shared some of these papers as of late, and it's just not going to stop. So there you go. I could keep going with that too, Karen.
I'm glad that we ended it there because that's actually going to be the topic of our next episode. We are going to talk about all the stem cell therapies that we know of that are kind of crazy, and cool and very, very effective. I will give my own account of some stem cell things that I've gone through and happy to talk about it. So yes. And Doc, I love that you mentioned that things come and go in fads and phases, because absolutely medicine is still moving towards stem cell. And there's conferences based upon all around stem cells, all over the world, which we'll be heading to.
Well, wait, remember when I started first talking about peptides, it was, oh, that's a fad. Oh, yes. That's not real medicine. Oh, that's, and it really was something where I just had to sit back and say, gosh, I go, my job is I've got to do a good job of explaining that it isn't about the word peptide. It's about this cell signaling. It's about what are we trying to accomplish? It's what does the cell know? And that drove me. I think that made me better at messaging and look at where we are now. I mean, nobody ever heard of a peptide before when we first started talking about this. And now look, it's all over the place. It's in cosmetics. It's everywhere.
It's in my drinks.
Well, and we started off our conferences saying this was going to happen. I mean, we should go back and get these little clips of things we discuss and just show to validate on a time schedule. Hey, guys, we told you this was going to happen. We said this; these were going to be the steps people were going to take. And then And then unfortunately, you know, you get people that really try to manipulate that just for making money and stuff. And that's what makes it worse for people. But you know what? That's what we have to work with. And it's all good. It's all good.
Awesome. Well, folks, Dr. Seeds will be speaking in Portugal coming up soon. So we are so excited to follow him there. He's speaking at a conference in Lisbon that we are so excited about and so honored that he was selected. And the panel of people, the caliber of people that are up there with Dr. Seeds and his cellular medicine advancement is truly remarkable. So we're so excited for that coming up. Also, Senescence Mastermind coming up, Senescence Summit, for those of you joining us virtually, that's going to be April 22nd through the 23rd in Malibu. That is at the Four Seasons Westlake Village. It's right next to Malibu, just in case you didn't know where Westlake Village was. That's right off of 40 minutes past LA. So my hood, I like it. It is a gorgeous hotel. Certainly one of our favorites. Can't wait to see everybody there, our fellows there, and of course our new faces and those of you joining us online. While this is primarily a physician practitioner audience, we have opened it up starting this year to anyone who is interested in learning about their own health and wellness. So just because you don't understand what's happening today or in April 22nd through the 23rd, doesn't mean you won't get it by the next couple of times, because apparently that's how the process works, right, Doc?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I hope to see everybody there. Keep sending us your questions on this podcast. Send them over to info@seeds.md. That's info@seeds.md. And of course, we want to end with our medical disclaimer. Everything that you hear and see today on today's episode is for informational purposes only. Please discuss any of these treatments or supplements or modes of treatment with your physician before moving forward with them. That said, Dr. Seeds, we will see you in another 2 weeks. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone, and we will be back.
Thank you, Bye. Karen. Thanks, everyone.